This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we're going to look at some email, and one piece of email in particular that you could be of some help on. And it was a letter from someone who was listening to a flashback, or actually was listening to a show of ours, and he heard a woman call the show, and he says he swears to God it was Betty White. And we'll get to that in about 2 seconds. You listen to this. Now, yeah, Betty White was on that show, The Golden Girls, and she was an old-school television hostess and did a lot of acting, and I suppose is still very well-known. And it's not unusual to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. But when I see you walking around... No, but it's not unusual, I don't think, because I told you that one time, Debbie Boone, you know, the singer, she said to me that her dad has called the show. So I'm sure that I've had other people... Who? Mary Tyler Moore. Who was that? Who was on the Mary Tyler Moore?
Betty White.
Oh, Betty White was on the Mary Tyler... Yeah, she's on the Mary Tyler Moore show. So we'll get to that in a moment here. First off, just a couple of emails. This is from Damian James. Phil, I heard you talking about the deliverance-like areas in the Ozarks where there are tribes of inbred, isolated white folks stuck in the middle of nowhere. America, that is, where they can't read. You then made a comment that it must be like that in Canada, only worse. Well, I am in Canada, and I'll tell you right now that there are indeed places up here like that. One such place is a little isolated community of inbred, illiterate white folks called Calgary. In fact, every year they have an actual celebration of their inbred, illiterate, isolated whiteness, a sort of squeal-like-a-pig festival. They call it the Calgary Stampede. Anyways, Phil, I used to live in Calgary, and I finally thumbed my way out of there. Yep, I got out. I really didn't care if I went to jail. There is another well-known Ozarkial community in Canada of inbred, isolated, illiterate hillbillies. It's called the Canadian government, but that's a whole other story. Thanks for all of the laughs. And talk radio, gods forbid, intelligent banter, your loyal Canuck listener, Damian James. Thank you, Damian. Yeah, Calgary Stampede is a rodeo. You know, it's like it's really freaking huge. Dude. Mr. Hendry, this is from A.J. Anderson, and I don't know whether this guy is kidding or not. A.J. Anderson, here's the tip-off that it might be a gag. Dilworth, Minnesota. Mr. A.J. Anderson writes, the woman you have on your show is a true B-I-T-C-H and knows nothing about how to successfully lose weight. Abusing children in high school or junior high school just makes their problem worse. The self-image of those overweight children is already bad enough without a teacher making it worse. Ultimately, it comes down to the overweight person's decision if they're going to lose weight or not. If this woman worked in the school district where I live, I would sue her for child abuse. It's when we had Clara Bingham on saying that when a fat kid came on campus, she'd start playing cow mooing sound effects and would say things like, hey, Globe Boy. Now, I thought it sounded like a real letter, and then I saw A.J. Anderson, Dilworth, Minnesota. But he also works at a station, I think, because it says here, AM 1660, West Fargo. Get out of here. It's got to be a gag.
No, I think it's real.
I think it's a gag.
I think it's real.
I think it's a gag, and I got the last word.
Real.
Here's a best line. Steve Bozell upset a young girl at a slumber party by stepping over her sleeping bag, wearing a long T-shirt and no underwear. When a caller called in to tell him how wrong he was in doing this, he responded, quote, when I decided to straddle someone's face with my genitals showing, you'll be the first to know. Okay, that's the best line. My vote for the best line, Phil, is Don Berman, who said to a caller, quote, you say you have black friends and yet you never smoke crack. Bullcrap. Okay, that was very racist and wrong. This is from Brian Michael. Phil, I have a line here from way back when Roy Horn got mauled by the tiger. Austin Amarco wanted to be put on the disability. He wanted to be put on disability because he couldn't work knowing a gay had more courage than him. Talking about the tiger putting his lips on him, Austin said, I told a doctor in front of three nurses that I would urinate my slacks in a business suit if that happened to me. Here is another email. Please note, this is an email a guy got from Extra Sports in Los Angeles. They have had a spike in their online listening recently. And the caller says, why do you think that, or the guy who wrote the letter, why do you think that is? Because we got a ton of online listeners. And the other thing that we get, and I'm sorry, I got to say it, the Extra Sports signal in Los Angeles is at night. You might as well turn it off. You might as well save the electricity bill. It gets about three blocks. So we got a lot of online listeners in L.A. Thanks for that. All right, it's time now to...
Dilworth is just east of Fargo and west of Glendon. It lies right on the 94 freeway. What a douche.
You called me a douche, you little...
What is?
Don't start bawling. All right, now it's time for this so-called Betty White person. Is this Betty White? I don't know. This is from February. Guy says he swears to God. And when Mark heard it, Mark, you're pretty certain.
Parts of it.
All right. Let's listen. Is this caller, in fact, Betty White? You decide.
Hi, my name's Betty. And
yes, ma'am.
I think the gentleman there, even though he's a father, I'm certainly glad he's not my father or the father of my children. Those children are going to have a political agenda.
Well, why are they doing
Excuse
it?
Excuse me, they can hardly manage to survive. And all they're caring about is thinking about a football game, and he's bringing it into the Academy Awards?
Well, they're bringing out the Eagles. Are you familiar with this week's Super Bowl, ma'am?
It's yes, gonna be I love football.
All right, it's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots.
Eagle, and that has nothing to do with those children being political.
Well, that's where we disagree.
Nothing.
That's where we disagree.
Nothing. Well, obviously.
They told Phil, and Peggy Auger, who's with the Children's Outreach, said the kids like the patriotic idea.
All right, they like the patriotic idea.
Are you an American and you're not patriotic?
Of course I'm patriotic, but these days...
I don't think so.
Well, what are you, a Republican? You're a Republican, right?
Yeah, and I wouldn't care if I was a Republican, a Democrat, or an Independent.
Ma'am,
those are children.
I'm not somebody
about.
Who's easily manipulated
by a bald
kid. And
you know who cares about the Academy Awards? This is going to hurt the Academy Awards.
If you live in the Los Angeles,
absolutely nuts.
Ma'am,
so goodbye.
I can say no to a bald kid. You can't.
Anyway, is that Betty White? I don't think so. I shouldn't have given my opinion because now people are going to call in.
Yeah, you're right, Phil.
Let's just go to the phones here. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Let's see. Hal, go ahead.
Phil, it's Hal Lavalier in Viola.
How you guys doing?
Phil, we're good. Hal knew Betty White.
We're on our way to the airport right now, Phil. We'll call you from the plane later. I knew Betty White a number of years ago because I worked in the real estate. I sold her and her husband, Alan Ludden. You remember Alan Ludden, Phil?
Vaguely, yeah.
All right. I sold him a house, and we had some legal issues regarding the house. I thought he was... I wouldn't pee on him if he was on fire, but I thought she was a marvelous woman. But I thought Alan Ludden, I wouldn't go across the street to pee on him if he was on... Here, you take it.
Yeah, Phil, he knew Alan Ludden.
I understand that. Is it Betty White?
Well, he wants to know, is it Betty White?
Huh?
What? He wants to know, is it Betty White?
Huh?
Just ask, what do you think, ma'am?
I'm sorry?
Do you think it's Betty White?
I'll do it. Phil, Hal Lavalier.
I know.
All right. Look, I knew Betty White and Alan Ludden years ago. I sold her.
Yeah, you sold him a house, I heard.
All right. I thought he was a horrible running sore of a human being, but she was a marvelous, marvelous woman. But Alan Ludden, I wouldn't go across the street to pee on...
Yes, I get it.
All right. So what...
Was that Betty White?
Hold on. He wants...
Get him out of here, will you? Start screening some calls, bud.
I'm doing the best I can.
Clara, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, hello.
Clara?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Good.
I heard the lady, Betty White, and could I hear it again? Just one bit of it.
Go ahead. Play a little bit of it for
me. Hi, my name's Betty, and
yes, ma'am.
I think... The gentleman there, even though he's a father, I'm certainly glad he's not my...
Which one was Betty White?
Which one was Betty... Thank you. Bob, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. Bob Green.
How are you, sir?
Great, Phil. I'm on my way to San Diego right now in a San Diegan, and I heard your program as I was pulling up at Union Station, and you were asking if that was Betty White. Hey, boy. Hold on. Hey, boy. Give me a drink. Now, you...
Wait a minute, man. Where are you?
I'm on the train right now. And I just asked one of the porters to get me a drink.
What's with this hey boy?
No, it's okay. It's on a train, you're taken back in time.
What do you mean on a train, you're taken back in time?
Have you traveled by train lately, Mr. Henry?
I was on a train not too long. Well, yeah, 15 years ago.
Oh, it's train travel, Phil, is like going back to an America that is long forgotten, and it's just wonderful. I'm in the dining car right now, and it's as if you're in the 19th century and you're traveling out west. It's just great. Hey, any of you bucks got a light?
Jeez, who are you talking to, man?
Huh?
Who are you talking to?
What?
Next stop, Fresno.
Hey, dude, I hate to tell you, if you're going to San Diego, you're going the wrong way.
Ah, who cares? I said any of you bucks got a light.
Yeah.
Now, Phil...
Who are you talking to?
Some of the porters. They're nice guys.
Any of you bucks got a light? Wow.
Isn't it great? Yeah, it's white people heaven.
Bug off. Who's this, Viola?
Yeah, Phil, we're airborne now, and...
Oh, gee. Any of you bucks got a light? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
This is a kind of a tough time of year for anybody that uses their voice because it is allergy season. And what happens is the air dries out in some parts of the country and can really dry out the vocal cords to the point where you don't have the elasticity, I guess you'd call it, in your vocal cords. And so what transpires then is a very, very difficult job for an individual using their voice to do their job. We're very honored to have on the show tonight Dolly Parton, who suffers from this. And Ms. Parton, thank you very much for joining us. Are you up in an airplane too?
Yeah, I'm right now. I am, yeah. Why?
Because the last people that called were in a plane.
The last people that called?
Yeah.
No, I'm just on a private plane. I'm on my way out to a state fair.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Bloomington, Indiana, to do the state fair, yeah.
So, Ms. Parton, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you good. A man here said we'll be in Bloomington about 20 minutes.
Ms. Parton, your voice obviously is very strained. It sounds a lot different. Is this from allergies?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it's from.
From allergies, huh?
Yeah. But I'm Dolly Parton, you know. But right now, yeah, definitely on me sing in the way I want to, you know.
Well, can you sing a song for us? Can you not sing at all?
Right now, I can't sing now. I'll get on the ground and get a glass of water. And that'll probably help.
Don't you have any water up in the plane?
Say that again.
Don't you have any water in the plane, Miss Parton?
No, I don't have no water right now. I got a Diet Coke. I got a plastic bottle of Diet Coke I got at the airport. But, you know, that doesn't do it. But I go down and I get a glass of water. You know.
Well, can you sing a song for... I mean, my listeners are not going to believe your voice sounds so different because of your allergy.
Oh, yeah, I get that a lot. You know, if I call and make a hotel reservation, you know, and I say... hi, I'm Dolly Parton. I want to get it there. The man say, boy, you know, because he think I'm a black, you know, he think I'm colored, you know. But I ain't. I'm Dolly Parton. I got the big jugs. I got it all going on, you know. The problem is, though, if I call for hotel reservation, that kind of thing, okay, I dial up Enterprise Rent-A-Car like Avis Rent-A-Car, something like that. I know, it's weird, man. You know, it's nuts.
Well, can you sing a song? I mean,
I can try. You know, it ain't gonna sound good.
Well, what was that song you did from The Bodyguard?
Song I did from The Bodyguard. You mean the one I wrote?
Oh, yeah, I'll Always Love You.
Yeah. Will I only love you? That one?
Yeah, I guess that's the one. That doesn't sound like it.
Yeah. So what else?
Well, that's it, man. I mean, so what do you, I mean, not man, ma'am. What else are you doing for your allergies?
You know, I take a Sudafed. But that mostly so my ears will pop when I get up in the air, you know. But other than that, I don't know. But that song I wrote is I Will Always Love You. And I wrote that, and Whitney Houston done that, you know.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. Okay. Well, Dolly, so you say water is the best thing, huh?
Say that again.
You say water is the best thing?
Yeah, water is good. Sudafed. A lot of time I'll get a contact, you know, a 12-hour contact pill, and my boy will come back like that.
Right. All right, well, listen, Dolly, it's nice talking to you, Miss Parton. By the way, you still got the Dollywood Park?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I got that. Yeah, I got that, you know. And I got a lot of stuff going on, you know.
Right. Thank you very much, Dolly, for talking to us.
You bet.
What are you looking at?
Dolly Parton, huh?
That's her. I talked to her manager. I talked to the record company. They said that's the way she sounds every spring.
Are you putting me on?
I swear to Jesus, hammered up on a 4x.
I mean, she sounded like some cat. She sounded like some old blues cat.
I don't know. But I talked to the manager and a record company, and they swore to God.
That was Dolly Parton?
Yes.
Well, she's got a pretty bad allergy, man. I'll say that. That's bad. That's like her vocal cords just collapsed or something.
There are a lot of them out there that affects them. You know, I was talking the other day. I mean, like, Joe Elliott from Def Leppard. In fact, he's going to call in.
Does he have allergies too?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You got Joe Elliott from Def Leppard's going to call in?
Yeah, because he goes to the vocal coach down here, Roger Love, down here in Hollywood.
Is he going to call now?
Yeah. Well, I heard Miss Parton. He said he'd call.
He's calling now?
Well, we got to get the next couple minutes or the next few seconds. I think I got him on the line pretty soon.
Joe Elliott, you know, I'm a kind of a Def Leppard fan. We got any Def Leppard music? Joe Elliott's going to call here in a second, then, right, bud?
Yeah, be calling.
1-800-449-8686 of the Phil Henry Show. The consensus, by the way, of the tape that we played is from our listeners is that it was Betty White. But I have to tell you, neither Harry nor I or Mark think that it was. It started out sounding like Betty White, but as the woman continued talking, I don't think it was Betty White. So the dude that wrote that, and the guy was so insistent in the email, Phil, I know you won't think it's Betty White, but it's Betty White.
I got him.
You got Joe Elliott?
Yeah.
All right, Joe Elliott from Def Leppard joins us right now. Joe, how are you?
Yeah, I'm real good.
This is the same guy I was talking to.
Dolly Parton.
What's that?
Who is this?
That's Joe Elliott.
This ain't Dolly Parton.
No, I ain't Dolly Parton. What?
Hang up on him, bud.
I can't hang up on Joe Elliott. He's a big star.
I'll hang up on him. All right, which one of your friends was that?
One of my friends.
Which one of your friends was that? Was that Ray?
No.
Was that Butch?
No.
Gangrene?
No.
Moldy?
No.
I'm going to find out which one of your friends that was.
One of my friends was Joe Elliott.
Sounding just like Dolly Parton.
Yeah, that's what the allergy do.
And they're both in an airplane.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. You might have your friends, if they're going to call with two different voices, be in different places. Not the same guy in a freaking airplane. With a black guy voice. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. More email. I'll do it. I don't want you reading it, bud. Says, hey, Phil, big props to you for putting that photo of a U.S. soldier holding that poor little kid who was blown up by other Muslims. I checked Al Jazeera's website, and guess what? It wasn't on there. For me, the guy holding the kid symbolizes what America embodies. I don't care what... I don't care anything about Halliburton, Bush knew, or any of that crap. We're doing what needed to be done decades ago. Freedom ain't free. Peace ain't pretty. Cheers, Mark, Simi Valley. Hi, Phil. Just a short note to tell you. I'm using my backstage pass to listen to you here in beautiful Tikrit, Iraq. I have been playing your show for a bunch of kids who've never heard it before. Really? That's unusual. I played your show for some kids here in Iraq who've never heard it. And have created a bastion of rabid fans. What in hell? I wrote this guy back and said, you better send me some pictures. I want to make sure that there's... If we hadn't dug Saddam out of his hole, we could have converted him to fan status as well, but who'd want him? Every time I see an aluminum foil wrapped potato in the chow hall, I think of Ted Bell. We love you. Greg Musgrave to Crete, Iraq. Thank you, Greg. And a few more here that we'll get to momentarily. The world famous Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
Phil. This is Frank Sinatra. And
yeah, thanks a lot.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Welcome back to the show. We are very pleased to have with us Vinny Applehead. He is a local yoga teacher. It's a very unusual name, sir.
It is an unusual name, Phil, but I've taken my inspiration from Johnny Appleseed, who went around the world planting his seeds of goodwill and trust for people, and that's what I think the message of yoga is. And today on your program, with your help, Phil, we're going to show your audience how they can use the various asanas of yoga to brighten their lives, bring health and vitality into their lives, and clear thinking, too.
Now, when you call yoga asanas, what is that, postures?
They are postures, yes. They are the different exercises that you see people assume. We don't say we actually do an exercise. We say we assume an asana. And that is a posture that is designed to free nervous energy, what we call prana, and that is life force, into different parts of the body.
All right, and you are going to demonstrate these for us, aren't you?
I am, with your help. I'd like to get you down here on the floor.
Now, we're going to put on a couple of remote microphones. Bud, have you got those remotes?
Right here.
All right. Now, these remote microphones will... let me just allow us to get down here on the floor. Now, I'm on a mat here with Mr. Applehead. Why did you call yourself Applehead?
I think it's just because I felt the name Johnny... I love the name Johnny Appleseed. And I was listening to a man, a very wise man, who I had studied with. His name was Bhaktivedanta, who he was with the Self-Realization Fellowship. And he said something very wise to me once. He said that a man who... Now, this is going to sound comical to you, but there is a deeper truth. He says, a man whose head is the size of an apple, that's... You know, you want to stay a little bit... You want to be clear of him by two car lengths.
You find... Well, it is funny.
It is, but it's also very wise.
So basically, stay away from any guy whose head is the size of an apple.
Well, I've never looked at that. Well, yes, that's...
Okay, anyway, so I'm on the mat here. Now, this is just a yoga mat?
It's just a yoga mat. You're wearing pretty loose-fitting clothes there, Phil. Now, I'm going to lift... I'm going to try to demonstrate this. I'm lifting my leg up. Now, this is called the elephant. You see this right here, Phil?
Right, I see it.
Now, I want you to move your head down here with your leg up so that we're almost in opposite directions.
Okay, my face is like right near your crotch.
Well, that's...
Dad.
What am I... Ow, man.
Come on, get that leg up. Now, get your face right up into my crotch.
I knew it.
I'm sorry.
Let's try this again.
I'm awfully sorry. But I will say this, I'm a vegetarian.
I don't care what you eat. Will you turn the music down a little bit, bud?
It's Indian music. It puts you in the mood.
Puts me in the mood for what? The room smells like broccoli now.
I'm very, very sorry, Phil.
That's perfectly all right. I'm sorry. Why does my face have to be so close to your crotch?
Well, It doesn't have. What I'm trying to do is show you the flexibility of the body, but you have to. It's almost like a game of Twister in a way.
All right.
Now, here we go. This is called the penguin. Move your arms back. Now lock them to mine. Now I want you to bend all the way over. See how I'm bending over?
Yeah.
Bend all the way over. All right. That's it. Get your nose right up in there.
You doing this on purpose? Turn off the music. You doing this on purpose?
I'm sorry?
What are you doing, Phil?
I want to know right now if this guy's doing this on purpose.
What?
You know very well what.
Phil, I can assure you.
Sorry, I've had a tough couple of weeks. I'm very sorry, sir. Put the music back on, bud.
You're losing it. You're all in a heap.
Just don't worry. I'm sorry, sir.
Well, Phil, I can assure you, I'm just trying to help your health.
I understand that. It was something about you saying the line, get your nose right up in there.
Well, Phil, I'm simply saying to you that I want you to bend all the way over, because what that's doing is it's stretching out those vertebrae, and it is allowing all of that nervous energy, all that prana, all that life force, to finally diffuse into your body. It's been locked up in there for a long, long time. Okay, let's try that one more time. All right, this is called, Phil, the tiger. Now, right here at the base of my spine is where a lot of what we call the kundalini energy is locked up. And you're going to want to get all the way over. Now, look at what I'm doing here, Phil.
I'm bending all the way over.
Good Lord, you got your head right between your legs.
That's right.
Now, I would like you to do the same thing, almost as if we're looking at each other.
All right, so I'm going to bend all the way over. Now I'm looking down.
Now, can you see my face?
Yes, I can.
Come on, get your face in closer. That's it. Get your nose right up into it.
Turn off the music, bud.
You're not in the right posture.
Forget about the posture that I'm in. Get out of here.
Mr. Hendry, I can assure you.
Get out of here. You and Dickman go back to your frat house at SC.
Howard Stern never treated me like this.
Yeah, get out of here. Howard Stern never treated you like this. Hey, I got a great idea. Go on the Man Cow Show.
Look, Phil, I just want to leave you with something.
I'm going to open a window.
Yeah, thank you. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, let me just give my listeners in Houston this update. I apologize. We will be starting in Houston on KIOL-FM, 7 to 9 p.m., 7 to 9 p.m. on May 31st. So everything has changed that I was told. I apologize to you. Everything has changed, including the fact that we would be live in Houston. Apparently we're not. Because it's 7 o'clock in Los Angeles, it's 9 o'clock in Houston, so I would be going off the air. So you're going to get a tape delay show in Houston, and it's going to be coming on May 31st. So everything freaking changed. I just saw this on my website. To say that I am not disappointed would be a lie. I'm happy to be back on in Houston. I don't understand why it is we can't get our show played live in some areas. And to that guy that wanted me to be on Midnight to 3 in Des Moines, I'll take it. Now. And you wonderful people in Portland, we're at KCMD 970. But yeah, Houston will be on the 31st of May, not on the 23rd. And we'll be on 7 to 9, not 9 to midnight. Other than that, it's the same station. At least I know that much. In other radio news, Mancow hit the air in the Los Angeles area May 23rd. Apparently, the show was very... Mancow does a great show, but the technical side of it was a little rough. Apparently, the show stopped and started a few times, picked up at the same place that it left off. It must have been on some kind of a tape delay. And there's a real panic going on in the world of radio right now. You guys might be interested in this. I think you'd be very fascinated with this. There is a panic verging on strangulation going on in the radio world right now. There is a panic verging on spontaneous vomiting through the nose, because with Howard Stern going over to satellite radio, a large vacuum in morning radio will exist in the United States. And let me tell you why this is a panic. Because people like Howard Stern, or to my small extent Phil Hendry, or anybody that does an original show, we did it despite radio management. So I say despite, not to spite, despite. What that means is this: they are faced with having to replace Howard Stern. They don't know how to do that because radio executives in America do not know how to develop talent. They never have. They're running around trying to figure out who they're going to replace Howard Stern with. Well, if you guys had done your job and actually gone out and beat the bushes and found some people that are original and found some people you could develop and actually learn something about talent. That's the one thing you got to know. If you're in radio management, learn something about talent first, then develop it. But because you guys don't know either end of the business, now you're running around like a chicken with his freaking head sitting in the yard, and you don't know how to... what are we going to do about Howard Stern's leaving the air? What are we going to put in there? I know what you guys will do, because I know how you cats think. You'll put in the Generation 51 of the Howard Stern show. Like I was, Harry and I were talking, and Mark, see, the radio tree of evolution, at the very top, as the human, is probably either Howard Stern or Steve Dahl. And then you go, and I'm just talking about morning shows. If you talk about my show, we're a different species, okay? We're like Australopithecine, you know, we're like monkeys that have funerals. We're weird, you know, we're just, this is just the tree of morning shows. It's like Howard and Steve Dahl are the humans. Then you go down to Cro-Magnon Man, and maybe that's, I don't know, Opie and Anthony. All the way down, the small rodent scurrying among the rocks, that's Don and Mike. And Mancow, you know, so now here's the deal. Because a cat like Stern developed his show making management angry, not making them happy, but making them angry, and then finally making enough money whereby they said, well, gee, maybe this guy's good. They never did bother to figure out what it was that made that show work. They couldn't tell you today. Do you realize that? That's the most shocking thing. Anybody that carries a Howard Stern show, anyone that has anything to do with a Howard Stern show other than his management or him, they couldn't tell you what makes that show work. If they could, they would be able to find it, develop it, and have it in another radio personality, or at least recognize it in somebody else. But they don't. So it's really hysterical. You ought to be on this side of the glass sometimes, because you're looking at these people, man, you'd swear to God they're crapping seven shades and leaving a little bit of drip down the inner thigh.
Oh, God! That's graphic!
Yeah, you're right, bud. I'm sorry. And that ain't?
Well, it's just paying you back.
So it'll be real interesting here over the next year or so. And meantime, you know, Mancow's on the air here in LA, and they think that Mancow may be the heir apparent. And I, with all due respect to Mancow, nice guy, he ain't. Forget it. He's a nice guy, does a great show. Does a great show, but it's Howard's show. It's another version of that show, see? I mean, who's kidding who? I'm not telling anybody that this isn't a news flash. It's the same freaking show, man. This is what kills me about this business. It drives me out. It's like television. A bunch of people running to the place where lightning just struck. I know what we'll do. Get a guy. Have him do lesbians. Well, Mr. Jones, the FCC, just have him do the lesbian thing. I don't care what. I'm losing money here. I'm bleeding out of my rear end. I own 16 radio stations, and I got that Stern Jew on every one of them. Now, what's going on? Well, he's going over to Sirius. Well, what the hell is that? It's a satellite deal. Well, why can't we do that? Well, sir, we can, but... well, I want to get that Jew on the phone and... Some freaking hick who owns a radio company out in the Midwest, right? I swear to God, that's the way they talk. And he's going to lose his shorts. I'll tell you, years ago, when I was in the... Wait a second. Wait a minute.
No, I told Bud to fart just to shut you up.
Okay, I'm going to a break.
Thank God. Darth Hall has spoken.
Hail Darth Hall.
How dare you turn my music down?
Phil Henry.
I gotta go to the bathroom.
449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So on our website is our souvenir shop. Go over there, man. Get that Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt because it is a beautiful thing. And it's great for Fops Day, Daddy Day coming up. The Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, Miami Beach, man. That's right. Ted's opened up his store in Miami Beach. And we also have other things there for Daddy on Father's Day. I think it'll be kind of a beautiful thing. Here's a letter from somebody named Tristan. Is that a girl or a guy, Tristan? That's a girl. And she says, dig this, because we were talking about Orson Welles. It's a funny thing about what we do on our show when we do the phony voices and everything, and people call in and they go, well, it's a hoax, but the best one that was ever done was Orson Welles. You know, he was a genius. You know that, don't you? Oh, yeah. That's cool, man. Orson Welles, when he did War of the Worlds, Jesus, what a great thing. Well, I hate to break the news, but Orson Welles wasn't trying to do a hoax. They opened the show up with, this is the Mercury Radio Theater of the Air, and this is going to be a play, and boom, boom, boom. Somebody called me up and gave me a backstory of this. They opened the whole show up with, welcome, this is the Orson Welles Show, and we're about to do War of the Worlds, written by H.G. Wells. So that doesn't sound like a hoax to me. I don't know about anybody else. But what happened was this. He's doing this show, and it's called the Mercury Theater of the Air. It wasn't his show, but every week they'd have somebody else different on there. Or maybe it was. I don't know. But in any event, it wasn't a very highly rated show. The show that was on opposite was this guy who had puppets named Charlie McCarthy. Is that the guy, or was that the puppet? I forget. Anyway, this guy, Charlie McCarthy, he would have his dummies on, and that was a huge thing. But what happened that night... The dummy took a break. They said, and now we'll do more with the dummies, but first let's bring on a singer. And they brought on a singer, and the singer sucked so bad that there was a huge tune out, and they all went over to the other network where War of the Worlds was now on, and they came in at the place where the guy's going, and the Martian spaceship is landing, okay? That's when the panic ensued. This person, Tristan, writes, however, at about 8:12... The show came on at 8 o'clock. At about 8:12, they brought on a rather so-so singer. It wasn't very popular. And so folks twisted the dial, and they would have dropped in on War of the Worlds right when the simulated news broadcast was in full swing. The timing was a fluke. So if I get one more email from someone saying, yeah, but Orson Welles, that was a hell of a... You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shove this grenade down your throat and pull the pin, coolie. I'm Jack Palance, and this is Your Life. We'll be right back with more news about those extra-strong diapers.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.